Hi, I'm Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Lowest Common Denominator is a new play having its world premiere beginning Friday, the 14th of March, running through to the 30th of March, 2014. It's by the playwright Dave DeVoe, who is the playwright in residence for ZZ Theatre, which produces this production. The play is described as a riveting and controversial play. It looks at intergenerational relationships and the sort of foreboding darkness simmering below. I'll get Deborah Williams, who joins me now, to tell us about the show. She plays Harmony, who post-divorce goes on a date with Peter, played by the award-winning actor Sean McDonald. Her son Trevor, played by Dallas Sauer, is part of the mix as she eventually walks in on, well, I'll get her to tell us about the show. Deborah Williams is an award-winning actress and writer, a graduate of Studio 58. She is currently working on commissions for the Belfry Theatre in Victoria and the Arts Club here. She's written a number of plays for the Axis Theatre. She also wrote and starred in the hit comedy Mom's the Word. I think the last time I saw her was in the Arts Club's production of Clybourne Park. She's also the co-producer of The Flame. The website for more is at rantingparent.com. Lowest Common Denominator is at the PAL Studio Theatre at 581 Cardero. Visit zztheater.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Deborah Williams. Ms. Williams, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
How are you?
Very good, yourself?
Very well.
So until recently, until I guess preparing for this interview, I knew little of ZZ Theater. Have you been associated with them for very long?
Well, I have known Dave and Cam for a lot of years, and yeah, they're hard when you're in the community. They're hard not to know because they are just such driven, interested, passionate artists. They make themselves known, and they work so hard to make ZZ a viable professional theater that I have huge admiration for them.
I guess Cameron McKenzie, he does that human library thing at Push Festival, right?
Yeah, Dave DeVoe and Cameron McKenzie both do the Push Festival. And, yeah, the Human Library is a wonderful... I mean, they both are just so interested in human experience, right? And
yeah.
And because ZZ focuses on the stories of the marginalized, you know, there's a lot of marginalized people, a lot of material.
Yeah. My Funny Valentine, I guess that was their last show, was it? That was a big hit, right?
Yes, big hit, exquisite piece, a one-person show playing, you know, nine characters and how they were affected by the shooting of a 14-year-old gay child in California, and it was a beautiful piece, and very provocative because you think you know what you think when you go in and you come away with different opinions, and you have to ask yourself again what it is you believe, yeah.
So in the introduction,
that's what Dave's very good at.
Right.
The show is very much that way too. You think you understand what it would be, what you would think if a 47-year-old man was having a relationship with a 17, almost 18-year-old man / boy.
Yeah.
But it gives you a lot of viewpoints, and you have to ask yourself again, what do I think? What is right? Yeah.
So in the introduction, I almost told what happens in Lowest Common Denominator. So can you tell us as much as you can without giving it away, I guess? Well, what happens in the show?
Well, I can tell you, you know, what happens in the first act is that Harmony, a wonderful, warm woman who has been left after 25 years. Her husband leaves her from much younger woman. We all know that story.
Mm-hmm.
And she's back out dating again, and... on the day that her son comes out to her, which she is shocked about, she finds out that the man that she is going on a date with is also gay. So it's the first time in her life that she's actually met anyone gay, as far as she knows. So she learns a lot all at once. And then it's the relationship between those three people that take us through the rest of the show, the good and the bad.
What kind of mom is Harmony? Well, actually, first of all, what kind of name is Harmony?
Harmony is what she would like to be. I think Harmony just represents what she would, she would wish if her life was a bit more harmonious. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's, you know, the mom of an only child, and she's 45 years old, and I think that her sense, she has very clear belief beliefs in the world and what is right and what is wrong. And she's a bit of a helicopter mom, yeah, I would say she is.
And so the relationship between her and Trevor, her son,
yeah,
I mean, that's a close one, is it? Or
it's very close. As that happens, you know, during a divorce, when the father slash husband leaves for another family, the mom and the son, who is becoming a man, forge out a new relationship, and they're very close, and they need each other even more, and they depend on each other. I think it's a very realistic rendering of that situation. Yeah.
Yeah, and so Peter, who's played by Sean MacDonald, is Harmony dating him heretofore?
Yes.
Yeah.
She goes on a date with him. She thinks it's a date anyway. That's what happens. A bit of a miscommunication. She's on a date. He's out with a friend. And she soon finds out that he's gay too. But they're really close, right? It's one of those relationships. You know when you just meet someone and something just clicks and you go, you know what? I'm going to be this person's friend forever. This is just right. It doesn't happen often. And it can happen maybe even more often with a gay man and a straight woman, that there's no sense of a sexual attraction. Maybe there is. Maybe there even is a sexual attraction, but there isn't a sense that that's going to be a problem, because they're not going to have sex. They just love each other. So they fall for each other into a deep friendship very quickly.
And so the other thing that's worked out, I guess, is the relationship between Peter and Trevor. In the show, and can you tell us what sort of relationship that becomes? I mean, in the stuff that I've read of the show thus far, it talks about intergenerational relationships. Now, I don't know if that means, say, a friendship between an older person and a younger person,
And it is that. And I mean, everybody else in the world can think otherwise, but at this point, that's what it is. It's a friendship, and there hasn't been any kind of sexual boundaries crossed, and yet, you know, when a person becomes an adult, are they not allowed to make their own choices? Once you're 18, in this country, in this province, you are an adult. Are you allowed to make your own decision or not? I think people who choose to have pursue intergenerational relationships, I think, probably face a huge amount of prejudice. I don't think it's easy at all. I think I know what happens in my head if I see sort of a situation where it's a much older man and a much younger woman. I automatically judge it as, you know, what is she getting out of it? Is she want his money, or is she is she just a trophy wife a second time round? These judgments certainly go through our heads really fast, whether you're politically correct or like to think you're an open, non-judgmental person or not.
Yeah. The relationship between Harmony and Trevor, the love that a mother and son have for one another, did any of your own parental experiences inform this role, the performance?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I have a 21-year-old and a 23-year-old, and and they're off in the world now being adults, but it's a really big change when your kids become adults and when they become decision makers of their own lives. And I'm not as much of I would like to think anyway that I'm not as much of a helicopter as Harmony is, but you have to keep your mouth shut a lot, and Harmony doesn't. Harmony doesn't step back and keep her thoughts to herself. And I know as a mother that if you really are going to do some good, you step back and keep your mouth shut and let your children figure things out themselves.
So in the course of putting the show on, I guess you work closely with the playwright, right?
Yes, Dave DeVoe, who is a dear friend and really amazing young playwright. Yeah.
So I guess in the course of doing all this, you get to talk to him about, say, the impetus for a show like this.
Yes.
Did you get any insight as to where he was going in terms of why he wrote what he wrote?
Well, I think it has, he and Cameron, who run the company, are also life partners and married, their husbands, and, you know, they have their own stories about coming out and how hard that is and what that means to family relationships. But also, I know that I've wanted to work with Dave for a long time, and I dropped a little note in his ear at the Jesse's one year and said, I would love to work with you. And a few, you know, sort of a month later, he had a rough copy of something saying, what about this? And he's got such a great ear. He's really supported my personal voice, you know, my own voice, the way I talk or the way that characters I create talk. Which is great, because I do lots of other characters, as you know, like mm-hmm. Clyburn Park and Mum's the Word and things like that, but this, it's such a treat to do something with someone who knows what your voice is, but also can make you sound terribly clever.
Yeah. I mentioned in the introduction you're involved with The Flame.
Yeah.
Now, I live at Fraser and King Edward, so it's not very far, the cottage, Bistro.
No, it sure isn't.
Yeah, but I have seen the, I guess every year you do the TV thing?
Yes, once a year we do a TV special around the holidays, and we, you know, we talk about holiday stories in people's yeah. lives. We get professional storytellers, but we do it also nine over the year. We do nine the first Wednesday of the month at the Cottage Bistro, 7 o'clock. It's always sold out, packed to the rafters. People arrive at about 5 o'clock, and we just have such a wonderful time, and it's something that Joel Workinen and I do just for the fun of it.
Uh-huh.
Certainly not a moneymaker for us at all, but I feel kind of selfish because I feel like I get to invite all these talented, interesting people, my friends, my neighbors, just fascinating people who have lives that are worth talking about, to come, what it feels like, to my own living room and tell stories. You know, we have something to drink and we laugh and have a couple of musicians. It's a great night. So nine times a year I do that, and what a treat.
Yeah, I've seen, actually, I saw the Mark Lear and Young thing that he did. I saw that on YouTube.
Oh, right, yeah.
And if, as I mentioned, the TV thing, you've got some great people on there, people like
Charlie Damaris, who is a perennial favorite and one of our favorite friends. And they're just a really amazing, talented people who were lucky enough to get back. Sean McDonald, who, uh-huh. you know, my co-star in this show, has told many stories at The Flame. And he and his husband, Terry, are both amazing storytellers. It's really fun. Yeah, it's great to have people out who have interesting lives.
Yeah, and you're also involved with the Belfry in Victoria?
Yes, I'm an artist associate there, so I work at the Belfry, and I come back and forth. I'm writing them a show right now, but I also do a Flame over there.
Uh-huh.
We did one in January, do another one in June. I do a lot of stuff, right, to sort of patch together this thing I call a career. Been lucky enough to make a living at it for the last, 28 years. Raised some kids, have a great husband. Obviously, I've got a great partner in this life of mine. We're lucky enough to still be together, and that's not a big issue.
So, home for you is Vancouver, is it, or Victoria?
Yeah, it is. But I do spend a fair amount of time out of town. I'm going off to do a show in Prince George as soon as I finish this one.
Yeah.
And I do work in Victoria for a bit, yeah.
Yeah, I went to the Belfry a couple weeks ago. About a month
ago.
Well,
what did you go see? Proud?
Proud, yeah.
Fantastic, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. Just it's a charming place. I mean, what is that, an old church or school? Or?
It's an old church, and it has also, it's lived its life as many different types of buildings. It was sort of some kind of rehab building at one point,
mm-hmm.
And then it became the theater. And I've played there for the last, I guess, probably 20 some odd years, so I've watched it change, but it's a beautiful, beautiful space. Michael Shimada, who is the artistic director there, is so smart and such a good programmer. People love to go to theater in Victoria. It's very fun to play there, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell what kind of theater community there is just by the audience, and then by the people at the front of the house, you know, even just the volunteers there, you can tell that, you know, that they want to be there, that they care so much.
Exactly, and some of those women I say women only because I know the bulk of them are women who volunteer there, but have been there for 30 years volunteering. It's just part of what they do in their community. They're so committed.
Yeah. What's it like playing the Powell Theater?
The Powell Theater is a beautiful theater, and I know it's less known. People always say, where's that Powell? Where's the PAL Theater? Yeah. And it's in Coal Harbor, and it's on the top floor of the Powell Lodge, which we created to house performers who mostly don't have enough money in their lives. When they grow old, they have even less money. So it's a place where people can live for less than market value. But we have a theater at the top, and it's so beautiful. And it's really small and intimate and gorgeous. And you can look out the windows across the city and across the park and to the North Shore. But it's also just beautiful and warm and welcoming theater. So I hope people try and make it down there, because people always say, oh, I should go down and check that one out. And it feels like it's far away, but it's not. It's just by the Bayshore. It's really easy to get there. There's parking. It's a no-brainer, and I hope it becomes much more of a theater force, especially the West End, because it's just walking distance there. It should be the West End Theater. Yeah.
In the course of, you mentioned patching this career together that you've done now for nearly 30 years. Did you find when you do a role, say like the one that you're going to be starring in Lowest Common Denominator shortly, that each job, each role, because I mean for the rest of us it seems like a job, you learn something a little bit more about yourself maybe?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's such a gift to be able to do a job where you're just being paid to learn. And this one, too. I mean, I'm learning lots about all sorts of things. What we presume a gay lifestyle is, or what I don't know about what... because, you know, I grew up... I sort of came of age during the AIDS crisis. I have all sorts of... Even though I have tons and tons of gay friends, all sorts of preconceptions of what that is and the danger, and it's also really nice to be involved with young people who are gay and who have had much less to struggle with, that it's much more that it's just much more every day, and I know it's not completely that way, but it really feels good to know that things are getting a little bit easier in at least part of the world, mm-hmm. and maybe even part of our country. But for instance, when I did Clyburn Park, I had to just, my head blew up over that one, because I thought I understood what it was to be, you know, a person of color living in North America. Well, I didn't know anything. I am some kind of loser, West Coast, English-speaking, pasty white woman who hadn't a freaking clue, and I really had to just say, I am an idiot, teach me. Yeah. And I know I haven't learned everything, but it certainly changed my life to do that play, and plays, most of them really do. They change your life. Yeah, they changed my life. Yeah.
And so you have the unique perspective, because you're an actor, and mm-hmm. you're also a writer. Do you find that the process of having acted, does that inform whenever you're the process of writing, whenever you do that later on?
Absolutely. Yeah. It goes both ways. You know, when I've been acting and I go back to a script I'm working on, it really makes, because I will have learned something about how a person expresses themselves, or how dialogue works, or how I can make magic happen, say. There's all sorts of things to constantly be learning as a creator. And then also, when I go back to being an actor and writing, I think I have a real appreciation for what it is to be a writer. And so I value the words that those people have chosen to put on the page. I know how long it takes. I know what we're writing something that may be, you know, up to 2 hours long, which doesn't seem like very much. It's not that many words.
Yeah.
But it is an incredibly intense way of writing. And so it's like writing a novel. It takes years and years and years to write a play because it has to be refined and refined and refined. So I think I appreciate the text that a writer has brought to the page as a result of being a writer.
Deborah, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you.
You're very welcome. The website for more is zztheater.ca. The show is called Lowest Common Denominator. It's at the Powell Studio Theater, the 14th to the 30th of March. One of its stars, Deborah Williams, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.